Blog Talk Radio.
People want better food to eat. Our bumper tune, Got to Give the People What They Want. Of course, it's one of my favorites by the one and only OJ's, one of my hometown guys. Well, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you're at the right place at the right time, where we bring you news and information that's well gathered from around the nation and sometimes even across the borders around the world. Today we have another exciting program for you, and one that I'm always thrilled with because I have a guest that is near and dear to me. I have a great deal of respect for and has become a friend and a colleague over the years. And he's got so much going on, and he has very limited time, so I'm going to, without further ado, for those of you on the mail list, you know who I'm referring to. And if you're not on the mail list, you need to get on the mail list. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, I want to introduce to you Mr. Lawrence Ham. Lawrence Ham is a civil rights and community activist and co-founder of People's Organization for Progress. You'll get a chance perhaps to talk a little bit about that. That's an independent grassroots organization that has been moving and shaking for many, many years. And Mr. Lawrence Ham has been in this battle for over 35 years since graduating from Princeton. So without further ado, Mr. Lawrence Ham, welcome
Brother
to another
Darryl.
Edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Brother Dow, good to be on your program. And Happy New Year to you and your listening audience.
Well, we appreciate that. Happy New Year to you and your loved ones, my brother. I know you have limited time, as you always do. It just so happens that your People's Organization for Progress meetings run on the same day as my radio show, as it has been for these many, many years, and I'm going into my ninth year. So
wow.
I'm just so honored that you – thank you, brother. I'm just so honored that you take the time out from time to time to join us in preempting your own very, very important business. So without further ado, I know you've got a lot of things. I get your emails all the time. I'm on the website. You got a lot going on. And, in fact, you're going to be joining us shortly in about a couple of weeks for our annual Martin Luther King breakfast by the Frontiers International, of which I'm a member, of course. And we're looking forward to that. But you are doing a lot of work. Tell us a little bit, 30 seconds, about People's Organization for Progress, how a person can get involved, because we got new listeners every week. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I'm hoping maybe you'll come back next week Martin Luther King, which you've done. You may not realize it for about the last 3 years, and we love you for that. So that's a lot said. It's your show. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, the People's Organization for Progress is an all-volunteer grassroots organization. We work racial, social, economic justice, and peace, and we have been involved in just about every major issue that affects them. We're just coming off this election season. Our organization registered nearly 1,000 new voters during our voter registration drive just prior to the election. We've actually participated in the election because, believe it or not, in the primaries, I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders. And I was elected to go to the Democratic National Convention. And, of course, we know that Bernie didn't get the nomination. And we also know, as a result of certain leaks, that Democratic Leadership Council conspired to do whatever they could to prevent Sanders from getting the nomination. But that being said, Hillary Clinton was the nominee. Did receive the nomination of the party, and the election was held on the 8th, and to the surprise of most, but not to a few who were keeping their eyes on the right measurements, we now have the pretender to the throne, the demagogue-in-chief, Donald Trump, who will be the president-elect. It is important to say that every time we talk about this election, we need to mention that he did not win the popular vote. In fact, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million, nearly 3 million votes. She won by a greater – in fact, she received more votes than any other presidential candidate in history. So she won the popular vote. But because of an institution that's the vestige of slavery in the United States called the Electoral College, which was established to give the southern slave states or colonies at that time more voice in the selection of the president of the Electoral College. Trump won the Electoral College and thereby won the election. And this is an important point for people to understand, that the popular vote in the United States does not choose the president. It is the Electoral College, which consists of about 538 people. They are equal to the total number of the House of Representatives and U.S. Senate combined. And the People's Organization for Progress, we have initiated our own campaign here in New Jersey to call for the abolition of the Electoral College. We should have, as we do in every state for every other kind of election, direct election by the people. And so we've been campaigning, and we're going to continue this campaign throughout the year for the abolition of the Electoral College. In terms of things coming up, we just concluded a Mother's Cry for Justice March, where we had the mothers of victims of police brutality here in New Jersey come together with mothers of victims of police brutality from New York City and other parts of the country to lead a march against police brutality and police murder of unarmed citizens. And that was last Friday, and it was very successful, and it was very painful to see all these mothers. You know, it's like a sorority now, and whenever you start, you know, calling the names and actually seeing the mothers, it's like a sorority of sorrow, these mothers who've lost their sons and daughters who've been the victims of police brutality. And we marched on the federal building in Newark to call upon both the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, Paul Fishman, and outgoing Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Attorney General for the United States, to launch civil rights investigations into these murders, particularly cases that haven't gotten much media attention, like those here in New Jersey, of Abdul Kamal, who had a cell phone in his hand, shot and killed 15 times by the police. Kashad Ashford, who was unconscious when he was shot in the head 4 times by Lyndhurst police and state troopers. Jerome Reed, whose dash cam video of his shooting went viral. He had his hands up, his hands were empty, his hands were raised in the gesture of surrender. Excuse me, when he was shot 7 times by Officer Brahim Days in Bridgeton, New Jersey. And 14-year-old Radaz Hearns, who was running away from police, was unarmed at the time when he was shot in the back 7 times by Trenton police. We're calling on the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, Paul Fishman, to launch civil rights investigations into these shooting deaths and shootings and killing by the police here in New Jersey. And upcoming, the People's Organization for Progress, we are urging people to go to the various marches to protest Trumpism, to protest the inauguration of this demagogue-in-chief. There are going to be demonstrations in Washington, D.C. on January 14th. There are going to be demonstrations on the 20th and the 21st. And we're endorsing all the demonstrations. So we urge people from throughout New Jersey to get on somebody's bus and go to one of these demonstrations that will be coming up in this month to protest Trump and Trumpism. We can see that his so-called cabinet, that the people that he's picked, is really not a White House cabinet. It's really a monster's ball of multimillionaires, billionaires, racist, neo-Nazi, opponents of social progress. I mean, it's probably one of the worst cabinets that's been picked probably since President Hoover and the Great Depression. And we can see what kind of policies the Trump administration is going to pursue from the appointments that he's made. So we are protesting, particularly one of the first is going to be Jeff Sessions. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, that's his real name, a son of the South who was found to be so racist that he couldn't get a confirmation as a federal judge back in the late 80s. Well, Donald Trump him to be to replace Loretta Lynch, excuse me, as the U.S. As the Attorney General for the United States, and his nomination is coming up, I believe, on the 10th of January. So people need to be calling their congresspeople to tell them to oppose, and their senators, to oppose the nomination of Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General for the United States. His policies clearly would be antithetical to the black community, other minority communities, and people in general. So there are a whole list of Trump appointees that need to be opposed, but let's start with Jeff Sessions. Excuse me. And then finally, this month marks the birthday of Martin Luther King, his real birthday, January 15th. His birthday is observed as a national holiday on the third Monday of January, and I believe this year, is it the 16th? Of January, is that the national holiday down? But
it is correct.
Right. So the People's Organization for Progress, we will be having our annual Dr. Martin Luther King March. This year's theme is the Martin Luther King March for Equality, Justice, Peace, and Democracy. Now, we've never put democracy in that lineup, but with the election of Donald Trump, we see the United States not even drifting. We used to say drifting, but now it's moving at an accelerated pace to be really an authoritarian and anti-democratic. And one of the ways that Trump won this election was by the denial of black people's democratic rights. Trump won the election because nationally at least 6.1 million black voters were kept from the polls through various means of voter suppression. And this was because we had a right-wing Supreme Court which gutted the Voting Rights Act and eliminated the preclearance requirement, which required states that had been named in the Voting Rights Act to be in violation, that they had to clear with the federal government any plans that they had to change election procedures and policies. Well, the right-wing court by Bush and the other presidents that preceded him, they gutted the Voting Rights Act. So these states now, immediately, almost immediately after the Shelby decision, these states went in their legislatures and came up with these voter ID bills and passed them immediately. And through voter ID and through polling place, reducing the number of polling places and all kinds of things that would have been outlawed, they have revived these things, and they kept 6.1 million black people from the polls. And that's essentially how Trump won this election. You know, he really won the electoral vote in three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and North Carolina, and he only won by the narrowest of margins. I mean, in Michigan, he only won by 10,000 votes. And so we know that voter suppression has been one of the means by which Trump won and other people have won, and the Republicans have gotten and kept control of the House and the Senate. So now, in terms of upcoming, we will be marching on Sunday, January 15th. We'll be meeting 2 o'clock p.m. at the Martin Luther King statue next to the Hall of Records in Newark, New Jersey. That's 465 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Newark, New Jersey. We'll be meeting at the statue at 465 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at 2 p.m. on Sunday, January 15th, and we will march through downtown Newark to the federal building and back. And as we go forward in 2017, the People's Organization for Progress, we will once again initiate voter registration drive. We're also discussing calling a meeting to put together a black agenda for New Jersey that we can put to these gubernatorial candidates, because in 2017 we will elect the governor here in New Jersey. And these gubernatorial candidates are going around and speaking, but nobody is really putting any kind of platform to them. So we have tentatively scheduled Saturday, March 4th, for the meeting to develop a black agenda for the state of New Jersey, and I will keep you updated as we move forward on that. And on that note, brother, if I don't get in this room, there will be a revolution in that meeting, and they will overthrow and elect a new chairman.
And it won't be televised.
All right, brother. Thank you. I have to go.
Thank you. We'll be reaching back out to you later. Well, that was our brother Larris Hamm, who is truly a friend of Progressive News over the years, truly an icon in and of himself. For those of you who are not familiar with Lawrence Hamm, and if you just tuned in, we just had Mr. Lawrence Hamm join us, community activist and co-founder of People's Organization for Progress, one, I would say, of the fastest-growing African-American-based civic community civil rights organizations in the nation. right now, and they're certainly doing good work around the country to move the platform for equal rights and justice, peace, and empowerment of African American people, and awareness for all people of the African American diaspora. So that was truly a treat. So you got to tune in on the front side. You never know who we're going to have, but if you got we're on the mailing list, you may have seen that we were having Mr. Lawrence Ham that was going to be joining us. Something that Mr. Ham did not mention in all the things that he's doing is he's going to be a keynote speaker at an event that's coming up in about 9 days. And that is the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Historical breakfast that's being held right in my town here in Plainfield, New Jersey. So those of you in the tri-state area or might be traveling out east for MLK weekend, be sure to reach out to me on email if you need information on to how to get tickets for that. That's always a joyous and outstanding event. It's one of the longest running Martin Luther King breakfast in the, if not the longest running Martin Luther King breakfast in the state of New Jersey. But I'm a neophyte in the organization, and I am a member, I'm proud to say. And I don't dare boast to have all of the archival information about the organization because there's so much to be said about it. But with that said, I do have a special guest here with us this evening. And by the way, Mr. Lawrence Ham will be joining us next week as well, as he's done for so many years. And by the way, this is our ninth airtime, Progressive News Weekly. And Mr. Lawrence Ham, for at least half of those years, has joined us on the week of Martin Luther King just to share with us his acumen about Martin Luther King, because he is recognized as one of the most well-versed on Martin Luther King and what Martin Luther King is and has been about. Lawrence Ham, if I could just take a moment, since graduating from Princeton many years ago, he's been in this cause for 35 years, is, as I said, recognized through his acumen of knowledge of virtually every piece of literature Dr. King has ever written. And his works in terms of his studies of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., from an educational perspective, has earned him nationwide acclaim. And so he'll be back next week, as he has many years, pre-Martin Luther King holiday, to share some of his insights that many or most of you probably had no idea of Martin Luther King Jr., as he'll be bringing some highlights that are not so well known. So catch us at the top of the show, because you know he has to leave early for his weekly meeting of his organization. Now, as I was telling you, we have a special guest from the Frontiers International, of whom the keynote speaker for the breakfast will be Larry Ham, to share with us some of what the Frontiers International is about, because many of you may not be familiar. So Mr. Lewis Slade, who is the president of the Frontiers International, is going to share some of those insights. And I'm also looking for us to have a discussion about the black plight and the black opportunity, because it's not just about a plight. We've been through so much as a people, and we've always risen above. And so we're going to talk about some of the initiatives, and hopefully you'll join in with your perspective. And I'll say one thing to lead into my brother Lewis Slade, my fellow Yoke fellow, that part of the initiative has to involve our youth. And that's why last month we started a series on getting our youth involved, and we had an initiative discussing music and the influence on our youth, African American youth. And we're going to continue that in 2 weeks, so stay tuned for that. And hopefully next week we're going to have some youth with us also to discuss their viewpoint of Martin Luther King, because so many really have lost the ideal of the whole aspect of what he was about. So with that said, I'm going to bring to you the next voice you'll hear will be that of Mr. Louis Slade, president of Frontiers International. Mr. Slade, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for the invite to be on your program.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Congratulations on being the president. We've had, you know, Brother Sutherland the last few years, and I understand you've taken the I'm there with you, but you've taken the helm, I have to say, with vigor and continued without missing a beat. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. This is my second year. I do want to commend the former president, Roy Sutherland. He did an outstanding job. He was president about 4 or 5 years, and the idea is to rotate the position from time to time. So I do want to congratulate Roy. A little bit about the Frontiers International. It's an organization that is nationwide. There are chapters in cities around the country, and there used to be chapters in the Caribbean. That's why we have the international forefront. Organization was started up in the late 30s initially. And in Plainfield, it started in 1961, Plainfield had a chapter. Since 1976, we have had the breakfast celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And this was before Dr. King's birthday was a holiday. So this is something that's been a tradition in Plainfield for, this is our 41st year. And we're very proud of that. And at the breakfast, we give scholarships to deserving students. We recognize citizens for the outstanding work they've done in the community, in the areas of community service, excellence in education, and just overall outstanding individuals that have done something above and beyond the call of duty. For example, doing special things with our youth. Frontiers has also have over the years sponsored mentoring programs, SAT programs for our students, trying to help our students to become better citizens overall, and making sure that they remember where they came from and believe in giving back to the society from which they came. So that's a little bit about the Frontiers. We are having our breakfast, as you mentioned, on January 16th at Plainfield High School, and it starts at 8:30 a.m. It's usually a big event. We usually have outstanding speakers. This year we do have Larry Ham. He has spoken for us before, about 5-6 years ago, but he was so good. As I said, my neighborhood, he was so nice, we had to bring him back twice. So we brought him back again, and we know he will speak to what's going on in our society. The theme we have is we must accept finite disappointments, but never lose infinite hope. That was a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that he made in several speeches over the years, and based on what's going on today with the newly elected president-elect and all this new administration in Washington, D.C., things don't necessarily look that great for people, especially people of color, poor people, people who have needs. So we want to speak to that, and hopefully we know that Brother Ham will speak to that in a mighty way.
You know, if I can... just to have a little dialogue with you, and I see we have a few listeners that want to maybe participate in the discussion. You know, that's more than a few years, 41 years that this has been going on. And then when you start looking back at the chapter initiative, even longer that the organization has been around.
That's right, 57 years.
That must, I was going to say,
yeah.
Wouldn't that put the even the chapter one of the longest running, at least breakfast?
Well, the breakfast, glad you mentioned that. The breakfast is the longest running breakfast in the state of New Jersey. We have honored Dr. King on or about his birthday longer than any other organization in the state of New Jersey. And when Governor Christie was first elected, the year he was first elected, he took it upon himself to visit us, came to our breakfast, and took time. He wasn't invited, but he came anyway, and took time off our schedule and said what he had to say, and then he left. And so he's very much aware. Many people are very much aware of the Frontiers and the breakfast that we've had over the years and the success of that.
The other things that I know that we've been involved in is to try to educate our youth and our community through our lecture series. Can you talk a little bit about the lecture series?
Yeah. The lecture series is something that we've done to educate the people. Primarily is geared towards young people, but, you know, a lot of us older folks with gray hair have a tendency to really populate it more than they do. But it's about really educating folks about our history. One of the prominent speakers we've had there was Khalil Muhammad, who was the director of the Schomburg Center Library in Harlem. He came out to speak. We've had people speaking about what took place in Haiti. We've had people talk about Sojourner Truth and really going in depth in terms of our history. We've had folks talk about economic development for people of African descent. So the subjects were vast, far, you know, and we always wanted to have a good turnout. Turnout can always be better, but it is taking root, and we're hopefully going to have a have something similar. We've got about four or five scheduled for this coming year. Actually, I think it's been eight.
How can someone get information about the upcoming breakfast, or who happens to be local or might be in the area?
Excuse me. The breakfast, we are announcing, we have flyers, there were advertisements in the newspapers, I believe Star Ledger and others. We are on Facebook, so information about the breakfast will be on Facebook. And
under Frontiers, Plainfield chapter, I believe?
Yeah.
Frontiers International Plainfield.
Right.
That's where I found it.
And they can call Daryl Clark.
All right. That's right.
Daryl Clark.
Tell me out there.
Yeah, Daryl Clark has all the information. He has flyers. He's a part of this organization. And all I got to do is call you. But, again, it is on January 16th at Plainfield High School. We do serve breakfast. We do have tickets available. General admission is $15. For students, it's $10. And seniors is $10. And we always have a very good turnout. But this year we always have excellent food too. The food vendors have been very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have entertainment.
Entertainment, and mainly the entertainment will mainly come from our young people because we want the youth involved. So we have choirs, dance group, jazz ensembles. And things of that nature. We got young people involved with the marching band, and the whole thing starts in the cafeteria. Then we march to the auditorium and have the finish off the program. And that's where Larry Ham will be speaking in the auditorium. So we want everyone to come out. If you've never been to Plainfield before, it's known as the Queen City. Make it a point to come out and be a part of our festivities on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Well, before we let you go, Frontiers International is a national organization. Well, and so we have listeners from around the country. So that means that there are chapters throughout that a person might be able to get some information on for their local chapter.
Yes, there's chapters in Philadelphia, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis, they're around the country, and the reason why we have the name International, we used to have chapters in the Caribbean. So there were a couple of chapters in the Caribbean. So so now every chapter, every club, each club do their own thing. And but we have been known for primarily this particular breakfast on this particular day, honoring this particular man. So your participation is greatly wanted.
Well, that is very enlightening. If you had a word, just so in terms of speaking to our listeners, and I'm hoping, as prior to our event, you may, or one of the members, other members may be willing to join us prior to our event for next week. But if you had a word as the president, the organization, in terms of, the African American diaspora and our African American youth and individuals listening, looking into 2017, what would be your words of encouragement or wisdom for any of our listeners or for our youth, in terms of just moving forward as a nation and as a culture?
Well, there's a saying that there's nothing new under the sun and that everything is cyclical. What goes around comes around. What we're about to go through with this new administration coming in is something that a lot of us have never faced. We are in uncharted waters. But if you study our history, if you've been around a while, you'll know that we've been through this before. Our ancestors, who were slaves, came out of slavery, had less hope. They didn't have anything going for them. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any support. There were a few folks who were supportive, like abolitionists or what have you. But for the most part, the odds that they faced was astronomical, really. And yet they were able to overcome. They knew how to do for themselves. They knew how to meet their own needs. But it took a while. And so what we're about to go through is somewhat similar. And we need to come together as a people and support one another and make sure that we're addressing all of our needs. We can't and realize that we can't do this by ourselves. We need help. We need help. But somewhere I saw a figure that there's something like 36 million Americans of African descent in this country. And with that many people, really there's not anything we cannot accomplish. There's not anything that we cannot overcome. We just need to come together and address these needs. During the Civil Rights Movement, that's why I'm encouraged, because Dr. King really set the example in terms of how to overcome a lot of this. Now, I remember during the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, the only thing black Americans agreed upon is that we wanted full equality. We wanted to be totally free. But in terms of how to go about doing that, the way to do that, you had various approaches. Dr. King talked about nonviolence. Malcolm X talked about defending yourself. The Black Panthers talked about black power. You had different groups who were peaceful, wanted to go do it peaceful manner. You had groups that wanted to do more violently. You know, we waited long enough. But the bottom line was that eventually everyone came together and change took place. It was the biggest movement that this country has ever seen in terms of where we were, in terms of where we are now. Now, even though in some respects these are the best of times, but in other respects these are the worst of times. And we seem to not learn from our history. We seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. So my advice is come together. Let's do what we can do. Don't give up. As our theme talked about, we must accept finite disappointments. Disappointment will happen, but we must never lose infinite hope. If you got hope, change could take place. If you believe, change could take place. So all I can say is, as Jesse Jackson used to say, keep the faith. Actually, I think it was Adam Clayton Powell. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. Stay strong. Stay strong. And everything will be all right.
Wow. Wow. Mr. Lewis Slay, current president of Frontiers International.
By the way, I am Reverend Lewis Slade.
Oh, I apologize. I knew that. And
I That's okay. That's
needed
right.
to address that. And I had that in my notes, too, I meant to mention. So thank you for keeping me grounded. Reverend,
that's okay.
Reverend, with that said, you know, with your words of wisdom that you've shared with us, and so I'll do a Columbo, one more thing, theme. I think about our youth, and even in our town, we're having our challenges, you know, with the crime, with the murders, as any major metropolitan is having. Now, as a reverend, what is your perspective strictly from that perspective? I have to tap into that because of that energy and that insight and wisdom that you bring from that perspective.
It's really about believing in a higher authority than yourself. As a reverend, I have to say that there is a God. There is a God who sits high, looks low, hears and answers prayers. And if you look at the history of our ancestors, slave masters told them about God, but they wanted them to be better slaves, and they kept emphasizing slaves serve your master. But what our ancestors latched on to was the fact that they saw, they heard the stories and read about the stories of how Israel, God's people, came out of Egypt after being enslaved 400 years. So they hung on to that hope, believing that God would help, actually God would deliver them. They did all that they can do, and they knew that God would do the rest. And that's what we're called upon to do. We need to do all that we can do and realize that God will do the rest. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. We are here for a reason. If you study our history, we should have been an extinct group. All that we have gone through as a people, we shouldn't even be here. When you see a person of African descent, you should say, wow, I heard about those folks, and they're still here. There's one right there. But you hear we are 36 million strong thereabouts, and still striving no matter what the odds are, no matter what we've come up against. So I tell our young people, stay hopeful. Our young people, one of the things that my generation did not do to the extent that other that my parents did better with us is the fact that we don't teach our young people about our history. There's a lot of young people out here who don't know anything or very little about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All they know is that he had a dream, or they could go on the internet and find out a little bit about him. But some of the more important issues about who he was, how he came about, what he had to go through, they don't know. And when King was, I'm a product of New York City. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, and I can remember when King came to New York. King was not liked in New York City in the late 50s and early 60s. He was not liked by black people in New York City. So he was not a favorite of black folks. They thought he was a young man who was too big for his britches, and they did not believe in what he was talking about. But it took a while for folks to come around. So all I want to say is that we need to realize that there is a God, and King accomplished all that he accomplished because of his belief in God. You know, and I encourage all of us to do the same thing, believe in this God in whom we serve. That's extremely important. We got to do all we can do. Got to do all we can do. And we're a people who have, you always hear the term the struggle. I used to hear that all my life. You know, got to deal with the struggle. And we've been struggling from the time we came from Africa until the present time. It's been one struggle after another. Very few folks on this planet have struggled as much as black folks have in this country. And that struggle continues. And so we must realize that even through the struggle, we can advance, we can achieve, we can succeed, we can do all that we want to do. Okay? It's just that we have to jump more hurdles. We got to run, everybody else running a 100-yard race flat out. We're running with ankle weights on, but it's still doable. So it's about perseverance, it's about believing in God, it's about doing what we can do, doing all that we can do in order to succeed and do what we need to do and survive as a people. But we're going to die off. All of us gray heads, we're going to die off soon. And it's going to be up to the young people to carry on that fight. So we got to prepare our young people to carry on. Got to make sure that our young people know who they are. You got to have a sense of who you are as a person and what you're capable of doing. What you're capable of doing. And there's no limit in terms of what you will be able to accomplish. No limit.
Beautiful.
So you got to be doing a sermon now, man. You know, you got me in a sermonic
mode. And that was the intent, because as I said, what you have to offer is beyond the title of presidential. Because as you know, as a fellow believer, there's no coincidences. God doesn't put anyone in any place for no reason. And so each and every one of us, within an earshot of Reverend Slade and myself's voice, I'm going to ditto and coattail on what Reverend Slade said, and that is we must do what we can do. And sometimes we get caught up in fear for whatever reasons. We don't need to go into that lecture. That's another radio show in itself. But we must understand where we've come from and where we are, and that we got where we are not by coincidence, and that every obstacle that we got through, by that means we will get through every obstacle that we'll be faced with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Reverend Slade said, we need to pass that to our youth. We need to pass our history, that wisdom. They're hanging on almost by strings right now. I mean, relatively speaking, looking at a national scale, relatively speaking, to others in society, and especially those who are basically immigrants, our Asian, our Latino brothers and sisters, we're hanging on by a string in relatively speaking. And so the beauty of it is that we serve a God who is victorious. We must. There is no choice.
That's right.
We must. Every single person on this line has a responsibility, not an opportunity, just an opportunity, but an opportunistic responsibility to pick up a youth. And because I believe that opportunity does not rest in A, we must pick up youths and give them the guidance that they need. Because we can look at the statistics and see, compared to 40 years, just 40 years ago, less than a generation, the numbers of youth now being raised by single parents, many of whom are not even qualified to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us, as Brother Reverend Slade said, those gray hairs, we got work to do. But I embrace it. But we must let go of the fear. That's my belief. Reverend Slade, you did preach. You got me going.
I appreciate the opportunity to have this platform for a few minutes. But one thing, last thing I want to say is that
it's your program.
Our youth have a tendency to believe all the negative things they hear about black folk in the media. And that's all a lot of us know. They don't hear anything about the good things. In the town of Plainfield, the school system is not what it perhaps should be, and you hear a lot of the negative stories. But there's a lot of positive stories that came out of the town of Plainfield and the high schools and throughout the school system. But you never hear about that. So if you turn on the media, you see anytime they're dealing with Americans of African descent, people of color, it's always negative. And what we need to be doing is passing on all the positive stories, all the things that we're doing right. Because too many of our youth only buy into what we're doing wrong, because that's all they see, that's all they hear. So I do want to make sure that I got that out, because I do believe that the youth I talk to, they don't always see all the positive things. They don't always see what's going on right with us. They don't always see, if you listen to the media, there are no black men in anybody's houses in terms of helping raise kids. You know, there are no black men working in any way, any capacity. You know, but that's not true. That is not true. Don't buy into all the negative stuff that you hear. And check out every story. Everything you see in the media, there's always two sides to every story. And then the third side is probably the truth. So check out. Just don't buy everything that you hear or see. Check it out. Examine it. Explore it. Make sure that what they're telling you is true, especially when it comes to us. But I do want to encourage people to stay strong. Stay strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and he will see us all through. And I do believe that.
Thank you so much. Again, we've been listening to Reverend Slade, president of Frontiers International Plainfield, New Jersey chapter, home of the longest-running Martin Luther King breakfast in the state of New Jersey, and probably many, if not most, other organizations nationwide. Brother Slade, we'll be looking, maybe if you could bring a representative to speak with us for a few moments next week to encourage others to participate in this year's breakfast. We certainly appreciate it, because we have a strong organization, and I think we need to highlight them. So look forward to that. If I can put you on the spot and say I'd love to have somebody join us, and Brother Lawrence has already pitched in and said he'll be back next week.
I'll make sure that happens. Okay.
All right, because our lines are blowing up here. I tell you, folks have tuned in. So we'll make sure we get this out broadly, too, between now and next week, all over the social media, so folks will know that we'll have a special segment on the program just for this. So this has been a great program. We had a listener here that wanted to. I apologize if you did not get to speak, because normally we open the lines up. We had one that jumped on early. I'm going to see if we can get to him in our next 3 or 4 minutes. That's a familiar number. You're on the air, 522. Are you there? Is this Mr. Harrison?
Doing,
I thought that was Brother Harrison. Hi, Burnell, our own.
How
have a few moments? We're fine. You heard the dialogue, because I saw that you had your You had your hand up, and that's the way we operate on radio. You know, if you dial one for our listeners, we'll know, either myself or our engineer. I'm doing the engineering today. I'm wearing two hats, but our engineer will pick up and let you have your word. So, Officer Harrison, we got a few minutes. What do you have in regard to this dialogue that we've been talking about this evening?
First
and you've
of all,
heard
I want
Brother Slade, Reverend Slade.
Okay, first I wanted to speak directly to Reverend Lewis Slade and tell him that it is an honor to accept the invitation to be honored through your organization, Frontiers International, on the said day. So they're actually going to be honoring me through your organization. So I definitely accepted the honor, and I'll see you there.
Okay. You're Brunell. Brunell Harris?
Yeah, Brunell.
Right. Yeah. Heard a lot about
and,
you, my brother.
Thank you, sir. I'm just, and you know what? You said a lot of great things that it's like an album line is a great lyric. That's just how you spoke today. And I just want to add that moving forward, like God, he is so powerful. He is, you know, so great. Everything is shaping up the right way. Because if you look around, Daryl, he does things in the community. I do things. Your organization does things. There's a few people, but it's not enough. And maybe this is going to force us to come together, force us to spend money on our own. You know, there's a couple of drug dealers that were in Plainfield that I grew up with, and everybody would tell them, stop selling drugs, stop selling drugs. Well, guess what? They finally stopped selling drugs, and now they're legally selling clothing lines in Plainfield. But it's hard to get anybody to support them. You know, so we tell these young men, just don't make a living doing the wrong way, but then now we need to support them. We need to get back to supporting black businesses. You know, we need to stop saying, what is the police doing? What is the mayor doing? What is this doing? And it comes back to, what are you doing? Because in the 50s and the 60s and 70s, it wasn't about the police. It was about us policing our own neighborhood. We need to stop pointing a finger, and we need to get out and be proactive, you know. And, like, and it's getting really scary because, you know, you say the gray hair. I look at Daryl. I look up to Daryl, and I look up to men such as yourself, being a younger man, and I'm 42. But it's scary because when you guys leave this earth, it's like scary. What is the mentality of black men that's going to be left?
Yeah.
And we do have a resurgence of conscious black men, you know, who are up on the rise. You know, just like you said, don't believe the things in the media. That is very true. But we need to stop pointing the fingers, and we need to start doing anything, even if it's coaching basketball. Even if you don't know how to coach basketball, the children don't even care. You just go out there and just be there with them. Because even when coaching basketball, you're teaching them more about life anyway. So I just believe that moving forward, I really have a great outlook on it because I think that the moves that are being made behind the scenes and how America might change for us might actually be the best for us to galvanize our strength and come together, put our religious beliefs aside, put our organizations aside, and finally come on one accord and stand up for what's right. I mean, like, look at the radio stations. My daughter has never listened to radio in her life. She's 9 years old. She never listened to a radio station because they're too negative. She never listened to a music radio station because they're too negative. You know, imagine that. But as us as people, we have allowed this in our community. We need... You know, we have to change a lot of things. I think a lot of good will come out of no matter what they do because God is great. And, you know, and moving forward, we're going to do this thing. But it starts with people like us coming together, spreading the message, putting positive vibes out there, destroying negative stereotypes. As a matter of fact, there was a young man, a young black brother, who I had a conversation with. And he was just saying, you know, these people from the ghetto, from the hood, and in this town, they're lazy, they need to get off their butt, all they want to do is stay on welfare. He was going over the top on it, right? And I said, well, listen, you're not qualified to make, you're not qualified to make that statement. And he was like, no, no. Yeah, I said, because you don't know what people go through living in areas like this. He said, yeah, but you made it. I said, yeah, I'm the exception. But I'm not the norm. I said, listen, you grew up in a very affluent neighborhood with both your parents. You owned your house, nice house, went to a blue ribbon school, traveled around the world and things like that as a child. You know, you had a bank account from the time, you know, from the time you can count one plus one. You don't know how you would have ended up if you lived in the conditions that we were brought up in. So that is insensitive for you to say about what we go through and what we deal with without living the life that we live and knowing that everything was done by design to keep it this way, you know? And, you know, so it's just the reality of, you know, some of our brothers need to get it and stop putting other people down when you don't know what their story is. Because the young man, he dealt with children. So if you feel that way about the parents, then how do you feel about the children? So you have to change that. And I told him, I don't see you when I'm volunteering. I don't see you being a part of the solution. So if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Because are you going back to your neighborhood and saying how these people are lazy and stuff like that without trying to affect their lives in a positive way, being that one black man that can change a young black sister, a young black brother? So that's it. But I really see us going forward. I'm here at the town hall meeting now. I had to step out now at Washington School in Plainfield. So, you know, it's a packed house. And, you know, I just want to thank you again. And thank you, Mr. Clark, for allowing me to speak.
Well, it's our pleasure. And it's brothers like you that are making a difference that, you know, is that next generation that's coming up. And we're looking forward to you participating in our series as we move forward in the weeks ahead in getting our youth involved in this movement. So we thank all of our guests today, Mr. Lawrence Hamm, who has been fighting the fight, walking the talk, Reverend Lewis Slade, my brother, who I do look up to and has been a mentor to me in many ways and many obstacles and challenges that have been there. And, of course, Officer Harrison, he's just in it for the long haul. And we're going to need young brothers like him to make the difference that will make the difference. So we're going to keep on moving on. As Reverend Slade said, doing what we can do, never giving up. God didn't bring us this far to leave us. He's with us through this battle. So it's a winning fight. And to all of our listeners, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So to you, we say thank you so much for tuning in. And tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. We're on Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30. We're here for you, bringing you news and information that's for you, by you, and of you. If you have thoughts or guests that you think we need to be bringing to the fore that's not on mainstream and have a message that can move us forward, please send me an email to daryl_cla18@msn.com. So with that said, just know that we're all in this together. And no matter what, as long as we stay together, the best is truly yet to come. Thank you again for my listeners. We look forward to having next week when our special guest will be back. So long until then, peace and blessings to you and yours. Tell someone that you love them, because you never know what tomorrow will bring. God bless.
The moonlight, love will set us free. If we just believe, the best is yet to come. you heaven. Love will set us free. As long as we believe, the best is yet to come. Show me your smile, I fill it with laughter. That will light your mind. As long as we believe, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.